Perfect timing. Good morning, everybody. So, welcome to our service of Holy Communion. Today is the Sunday next before Advent, but the day that we recognise and celebrate as the Festival of Christ the King. A couple of notices for you. Next week's BCP 8 o'clock service, there will be a special blessing of new prayer books, which have been bought for us all by Lady Joan Heath in memory of her late husband, Sir Barry. So that is happening then. If you were ever likely or do occasionally come to 8 o'clock, Tim, that is happening then. Christmas Tree Festival on the 7th of December. There was a sign-up sheet in the sanctuary for people to help. So if that is something that you'd be interested in doing, please do sign up for that. It's not too late, I'm told, for you to sponsor a tree yourself. That would be quite nice. But if you want to do that, then you need to do that through the website. That's all I'm going to say this morning. There's a load of other stuff on the website. I just do encourage you to look. Let's take a moment of quiet and we'll prepare ourselves for worship. Father God, breathe your Spirit into every part of our service and our worship this day. When we pray, grant that we may speak to you as a person speaks to their friend. When we sing, grant that we may sing because our only wish is to give you praise and thanks. When we read your word, help us to hear and understand it. And when we listen to the preaching of your truth, help us to receive it, to remember it, and put it into practice. And grant that we may enjoy meeting friends old and new, but above all, grant that we might meet with you and then go out recognizable as people who have been in the presence of their living God. Because we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and sing. We'll sing our first hymn, which is hymn number 62, Christ Triumphant.
Thank you.
meet this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Sit on your for our prayer. We say together the Collect for Purity. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, Love your neighbour as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all, as we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour, in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Collect prayer for the festival of Christ the King. Eternal Father, whose Son Jesus Christ ascended to the throne of heaven that he might rule over all things as Lord and King, keep the Church in the unity of the Spirit and in the bond of peace, and bring the whole created order to worship at his feet, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sit for our readings from Scripture.
The Old Testament reading is taken from the book of the prophet Daniel, chapter 7, beginning to read at verse 9. As I looked, thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow, and the hair of his head was white like wool. His throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. A river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and people of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
The New Testament reading is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 4. Grace and peace to you from him who is, and was, and is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. This is the word of the Lord.
Shortly, Samuel will be preaching for us, but before that, we'll stand to sing our second hymn, which is hymn 1413, Let All Mortal Flesh Keep Silence. We stand to sing.
Thank you. Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you please be seated? At the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the Christian witness, the Christian faith, and the Christian hope, that Jesus Christ, the man who stood before Pilate and was asked if he were the King of the Jews just hours before he was crucified upon the cross, is in fact not just the King of the Jews, but the Lord of all creation, such that at his name every knee in heaven, on earth, and under the earth should bow, and every tongue confess that he is Lord. This is the Christian witness. For it is not the role of the church to elevate Jesus to the throne of heaven, as if we can bestow upon him glory and honor. No, it is quite the reverse. The church acknowledges and proclaims what she has witnessed. That the man of Nazareth, which traveled Galilee and Judea, followed by crowds longing to hear his message and to be healed of their infirmities, made his way to Jerusalem with a grim determination to allow himself to be arrested and put to death at the will of the religious leaders. The witness of the church is that the disciples saw this and were dismayed, scattering into the darkness even as Jesus was arrested and brought before Pilate. Pilate, trying to make sense of everything, asked Jesus, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus responds enigmatically, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." This point is of immeasurable significance. The kingdom of Christ is not an earthly kingdom, which he shall win by militarily defeating his enemies. The kingdom of Christ is not a political institution, wherein his success lies in the ballot box. The kingdom of Christ is not a royal inheritance, which he becomes a beneficiary of, either by death or the abdication of another. No, his kingdom is not from here. Indeed, here he places himself squarely under the judgment of both the religious institutions and the political apparatus of the largest empire the world had yet seen. In effect, the world, that is, humanity, represented in culture, faith, and power, had the opportunity to evaluate Jesus and treat him accordingly. In their estimation, He was a problem, and that problem was to be terminated with prejudice. This is the Christian witness, that Jesus was sentenced to death upon the cross, crucified alongside two other criminals. And more than this, having died, Jesus was stabbed with a spear just to check that he was well and truly dead. On that day, all that was left for humanity to do, in the form of Joseph of Arimathea, acting with permission from Pilate, was to bury his body in a tomb and block the entrance with a large stone. Thus, the only earthly kingdom Jesus was enthroned in by humanity was a glorified hole in the ground. His faithful followers hid for fear of reprisals, and with his death, their hope was gone. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here, Jesus answered Pilate. It was the love of God the Father for his only begotten Son which changed everything. It was at the will of the Father that the Holy Spirit entered the tomb and broke through the consequences of human sin and caused Christ's heart to beat with life once again. It was by the power of God that the stone was rolled away and the grave clothes were exchanged for glory. The only humanity involved in the resurrection and glorification of Jesus was his own. That is, his body which lives forever is the same body which was crucified. Thus, the Christian witness is that the kingdom of God is not from here, but is decidedly and uniquely the kingdom of God. A kingdom in which Jesus reigns at the right hand of God the Father Almighty in the glory of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And this is what Daniel glimpses in his prophecy. He says, I saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven. And he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. This is what the disciples witnessed when they encountered the resurrected Jesus and his ascension. This is the faith that the church has treasured and preserved throughout the centuries, that Jesus is Lord. And we didn't do a single thing to make him so. Yet this is a temptation we often succumb to without even meaning to do so. We treat Jesus as if we have made him God, as if we have decided that we can let him be king. This is the sinful tendency towards idolatry, a last gasp attempt to pretend that we are somehow in control. Yet the kingship of Jesus is not from here, nor is it in our power to give him. He has been vindicated by his resurrection, living presently and for all eternity. Jesus is king just as surely and independently as water is wet, as fire burns, and as gravity exerts its pull. In truth, this is liberating. The gospel is the divine revelation of God made known to sinners, and that is to you and I, and of the salvation which is offered to us. This salvation has been won for us. Our humanity has nothing to offer, no means by which we may earn our righteousness. But our humanity can find redemption by being united to the humanity of Jesus. This is what happens in baptism. By the presence of the Holy Spirit, God's grace overlaps our humanity with the humanness of Jesus, such that we are irrevocably identified with his eternal forgiveness of sin, that we might share with him in his eternal life. Acknowledging Christ as Lord gives us our Christian faith, which blesses us with hope, because all that is good and true is grounded not in ourselves, but in the reality of Jesus. In that reality, we have confidence that we shall be raised to eternal life. We have confidence that no spiritual enemy may prevail against us. And we trust that the Holy Spirit will supply us with patient endurance and with the strength of hope and the freedom to love others. For when we remember that Jesus is Lord, there is no respect for what makes one person greater than another in earthly ways of thinking. Money, the presence or absence of it, is immaterial. Status, whether from class or achievement, counts for nothing. Whether you are married or single, whether you are employed or retired, whether you are you is what matters. In the kingdom, we have become brothers and sisters of Christ, co-heirs with him as children of God, who were born not of blood nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Therefore, let us love one another and lay aside those issues which prevent us from exercising the unity which our faith calls us to. After all, the sin which separated us from God was far more severe than the sins which separate us from one another. And yet, for our sake, Jesus chose to give himself that we might be forgiven. This is why in the Lord's Prayer we pray, "Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." The freedom of the kingdom of God enables us to reevaluate our present circumstances and to have hope in the midst of them. When confronted with the death, passion, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, where can there be any space for the talk of the decline of the church? The kingdom of God is not from here. We can't build it here on earth by our own efforts, nor can we judge its success by pointing to bank balances, service registers, or by criticizing clergy and volunteers as if a theatre putting on amateur productions. No, to focus on the kingdom of Penn and Tyler's Green, or on the kingdom of St. Margaret's, is to put the cart before the horse, the human before the divine, the bricks and stones before Jesus Christ. Our only option is to ask ourselves whether we acknowledge that Jesus is King, that at his name every one of us should bow, whether we're going to live and choose whether we're going to live in our own strength, imperfect as it is, or whether we're going to live in his strength, trusting in the power of the resurrected one who has conquered death and sin. Should we come and take the bread of communion, trusting in our own righteousness, then we shall taste the promise of Jesus' right of judgment that we deserve on the last day. But if we are prepared to humble ourselves before Jesus as King, then when we come to his table, invited, impossible as it may seem, as children of God, we shall be fed by Christ himself, feeding on his flesh, his humanity, our only hope of eternal salvation, which shall sustain us on the remainder of our pilgrim journey through life, no matter what assaults sin, the world, and the devil may throw at the kingdom of God. So let us take heart, for this is the Christian witness, the Christian faith, and the Christian hope, that Christ Jesus, crucified and resurrected for us sinners, is King of heaven and earth. Amen.
Jesus Christ is the everlasting King whose kingdom is not of this world, but grows in the hearts of his people and lasts forever. So as his children of his kingdom, let us make our prayers to eternal God who loves us. We pray for your kingdom to come in the worldwide communities of those who believe in Jesus Christ. May our lives enthrone him. In this time of wars, rumors of wars, and open hatred among people, we pray for your kingdom to come in the nations of our world and in their leadership, for God's values to take root and grow, for each person to be respected as a beloved child of God. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for your kingdom to come in our homes and families, our neighborhoods and places of work, in all thinking, all speaking, and in all action. And we pray for our clergy, our ministers, our wardens, and all those who exercise leadership in our church and benefice. Love, Lord, in your mercy. We pray for your kingdom to come in all hospitals and surgeries, and in every place of pain and sadness. Heavenly Father, we pray especially for those in our congregation who are suffering from pain, illness, loneliness, or loss. Give them a sure knowledge of your love. And in a short period of silent prayer, we bring to you those people we know who need you at this time. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We pray for your kingdom to come in the final stages of earthly life, in the journey through death, and in the awakening to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear
our prayer. We thank you for making us and redeeming us, opening wide to us the gates of heaven. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So before God and one another, we affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed as we say together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father,
God from God,
light from light,
true God from true God,
begotten, not made,
of
one being with the Father, through him all things were made.
For us
and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried.
On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures.
He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets.
We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic Church.
We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins.
We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of
the world to come. Amen. As we are forgiven and reconciled to God through Christ, let us be reconciled to each other. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Share with one another a sign of that peace. As we're all standing, we'll sing our next hymn, which is hymn number 9. All hail the power of Jesus' name. This morning we'll use Eucharistic Prayer 1 on page 5. Eucharistic Prayer 1. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Sit or kneel for our prayer. It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise. Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. For he is your living word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit, and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood. Who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples saying, Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom, and with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit. Inspire us with your love and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honour and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We continue on page 17 by saying together the prayer which Jesus himself taught us, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but to deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Jesus, Lamb of God, have mercy on us. Jesus, bearer of our sins, have mercy on us. Jesus, Redeemer of the world, grant us peace. So draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts, by faith, with thanksgiving. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. The body of Christ, a gift from heaven. the blood of Christ, a gift from heaven. Stir up, we beseech thee, O Lord, the wills of thy faithful people, that they, plenteously bringing forth the fruit of good works, may of thee be plenteously rewarded. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We say together the prayer after communion. Father of all, we give you thanks that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Time to find out, I think, what our youngsters have been doing. You remember last week, I said that, you know, every week the kids come along and tell us what they've been doing and what they've been learning. And we thought it might be a really good idea if this time we did something different, and the congregation told the children what they'd been learning. Anyone up for that? In which case, we'll have it. Our children, the moment is yours.
So we've been learning about leadership this morning. So these lovely ladies can tell you a bit about some of the messages that they have written about leadership on their amazing crown. So what? Tell me about some of these messages that are on the crown.
It's...
Have a look, look. What does it say?
It's because he helps the people.
Yeah, so that's a sign of a good leader, something you have when I'm...
He listens to people and he serves people.
So it's more about being a leader for others than for yourself.
Crown him king.
Crown him king.
Well, that's a big crown for a big king, isn't it? With all those sentiments in mind, let's stand and sing our final hymn. Praise my soul, the King of Heaven.
Thank you.
So we go to our homes with this blessing. And so may the Father who loves you, the Son who sends you, and the Spirit who empowers you, be with you and bless you, wherever you are, whoever you are with, whatever you do, to his praise and glory, this day and always. Amen. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.